Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
Good morning, Annalie. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good, good.
Sounds great.
Look, having tea and talk.
Yes. It's very nice. I enjoy our talks. So today we were going to talk about the ego and our spirits.
Yes.
Because when we talk about it, we sort of end up in that always, that there is sort of a separation there, right?
Yes. And different people have different ideas as to what the ego is.
Right. So let's make a little definition for ourselves and see where we end up, right?
Yes, that sounds good.
So the ego is a part of our physical being, right? It's part of our identity, really.
Yes, and I think Freud is the one who coined the term.
Oh, okay.
And he said that was more like the conscious mind in some way. And then the superego was the spirit, and then the id was more like the subconscious.
Subconscious. Yeah, that's a really good picture. I think he cleared that out really well. Yeah. That we are sort of our individuality is divided in three separate entities, which collaborates and sometimes don't collaborate.
Yes.
So it's like the unconscious and our mind that is in the awareness, which is the ego then. And then there's a higher self. That how it said?
Yes.
And that would connect to our idea of our spiritual selves, right?
Yes.
Is there another word for it too? The spiritual?
Superego?
Yeah. Or the high self, right?
High self. A lot of people now call it the high self or the higher self if they're talking about our morality and our ethics.
Right.
The higher self.
That's right.
The high self, at least in shamanic terms, Hawaiian terms, it is the spirit.
Right. So that would be our connection with God and spirit, right?
Yes.
That's interesting. So if we would use Freud's idea, then the ego would be our daily mind, right? When we're walking around, talking to people, grocery shopping, and not being so much into philosophy or, you know, stuff like that.
It's more of the self that people see, probably.
Yeah, our identity as Annalie and as Mary Phyllis.
Yes.
Sometimes the ego has been regarded in negative terms.
In metaphysical terms, in society, it is usually considered to be negative.
It is. Why is that?
I think it maybe comes from the egotistical, from the word egotistical.
Right.
And wanting, when a person wants their own way, regardless of how it comes across, whether it's in alignment with spiritual mores, or whether it is just like, no, I'm just going to have my own way. I'm going to throw a tantrum.
Right.
It's a negative.
In the childish way, sort of. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So is that connected also to our society becoming more and more, or less and less self-centered in a way, that we are sort of reaching out, we see that we need to work together as a community and think about others, and also maybe in some of our religious traditions that we're supposed to reach out and help each other and not be so self-centered.
Yes, I would say in the spiritual components of the society that wants to do that.
Yeah.
But there are other parts of our society where they want their own way, regardless.
Regardless, exactly.
And we see that a lot on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that is more the egotistical.
Right, way.
Yeah.
And still, it's important, of course, for us to stand up for ourselves.
Yes.
So it gets a little confused at times, right?
The ego. Yes.
Because we need an ego. Otherwise, we would be completely
brainless.
Yes, exactly.
We would not have a focus as much.
No, and we would not be able to pursue whatever we can do with our unique personality.
Yes.
So we need to be sort of also self-centered, if we could use that for a while as a comparison to ego.
Yeah, some people say it's not good to be so self-centered, but, or selfish, or anything we do, it is in a way selfish.
Yeah.
Whether it is selfish that you got to have your own way regardless of anybody else's concerns.
Right.
Or whether you're saying this is my pattern, this is what I am supposed to be doing.
Right.
For instance, when I was teaching high school choral music, there were some of my students that always wanted to do solos.
Right.
And several of them said, well, I think I shouldn't do so much of a solo because everybody, my friends or somebody else always says I'm so self-centered.
Oh.
And when I looked up two of their charts, their birth date, yeah, birth signs, and I looked that up, and I realized, and I looked at them from numerological terms, I found that one of the boys, particularly, had the pattern that he needed to be out in front of people.
Right.
He needed to express himself through his singing.
Right.
And some of the girls were the same way, and yet some beautiful voices that people said, oh, you're just so egotistical. No, there's something about them that needed to express in that way.
Yeah.
Whereas someone else would express through art.
Right.
Or express through writing. Or express through sports.
Through whatever they, yes, are good at. Yes.
Yes.
This is a good, really good picture, Mary Phyllis, because it makes me thinking about how it has been for a long time, at least in our Western society, that if you promote yourself for something that you do really well, mm-hmm, it's not always accepted. It's a way of self-promotion is bad, you know, and self-promotion is trying to be better than somebody else. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, and I think that goes along with the story that I gave too.
Exactly. So it's just,
yeah,
it's exactly this way in our society how we have confused a person's abilities with this person trying to benefit from it in a bad way.
Yes, because maybe somebody would promote themselves that way.
Yeah.
And strictly to get the money and all the acclaim. Whereas somebody else says, this is spirit coming through. And,
right,
and it's, I am the vehicle.
Right.
This. And if I don't express myself clearly and out there, then I am shutting down spirit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sometimes people say, when you give them a compliment for a good job, it's, oh, that was nothing. And I thought, first of all, oh, that was nothing. That's putting down their own abilities, which were given to them by the divine.
Yes.
And another thing, they were saying, I didn't know what I was talking about when I was applauding them.
Right.
And so, it's important when, if somebody gives us a compliment, to say thank you.
Yes.
Whether we know we did the best or not, mm-hmm, that person liked it.
Exactly.
And we're thanking them for saying that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is, it looks like we're having ego and our highest self or our spiritual self like in two corners, like of a,
yes,
boxing ring.
Yes.
And they're trying to get, you know, more or less attention, but in a way they are supposed to cooperate.
Yes.
To make us do what we're best at.
Yes.
And in order to be able to do that, of course I have to look at myself and see, what am I good at? What, and this usually connects to what other people think also I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong to be proud of something I do well, because usually there's a lot of work behind it, right?
Yes.
A lot of effort. And it's, yes, not wrong to acclaim someone or to tell someone that they have done something fantastic.
Right.
It should be a natural, beautiful thing.
Yes.
And there we see how the ego and the high self can actually cooperate and create something that we can all benefit from.
Yes. And I think that's where, if we come, if we take those two corners, the ego is the extreme of no, 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 want my way.
Right.
And the spirit is, it could, if you go too far into the spirit, then we could be in what people call La La Land. And not have any connection to the world.
That's very good. That's a good picture.
But if we come into the center, then that is where we are using our individuality in alignment with spirit.
Right.
And that is also the place where some people will misinterpret.
Exactly.
And that's their problem, if they misinterpret.
I agree fully. Because this has to do with being who I am.
Yes.
And how I'm perceived.
Yes.
And it's more important that we try to find who I am instead of acting as we think people perceive us or as people perceive us. Because then we're not truly ourselves.
Yes.
If we act according to how other people want us to act.
Yes.
And this is the drama, of course, going on in many families where children grow up. And they are starting to, their budding individuality is blooming or starting to bloom. And sometimes it is provocative for other family members, including the parents, to see this happening.
Yes.
They want to sort of cut it down or.
Yes. Yes. It's like I'm thinking maybe of a somebody who was age 10 who was saying, no, you need to do this.
Right.
And then the family thought that child was being rebellious.
Obnoxious.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were really just standing up for what it was theirs.
Exactly.
And was misinterpreted.
Right.
And I can think of in my work that a few people who had major trauma around that.
Exactly.
It wasn't that they were beaten and it wasn't that they were hurt physically, but it was so constant at them, they finally just shut down.
Right. And this also connects to your story about the solo singers who didn't want to sing solo because somebody has told them, you're not supposed to do that.
Yes, they felt like they were being too egotistical.
Right. Which is really, it is a trauma for sure, not to be able to express yourself as you are.
Yes.
Because the people you have around you that you love, and also as part of our people being, you know, it's so important with our groups to be excluded from the group where you feel you belong. This is a very harsh punishment.
Yes.
So a child would, and probably grown-ups too, would do anything not to be excluded from the group.
Right.
So also then oppressing themselves.
Yes. Yes. And I can think of one girl, she had a wonderful voice. I don't know who to compare it to, but I've heard some professionals.
Right.
That she had a quality of voice like a professional.
Oh, wow.
And she, when she sang, people just felt chills going through them. The type of chills that felt like spirit was coming through.
Right.
And she was helping them to connect with their own spirit.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, of course, in the end, anybody can be corrupted. If you have an ability and you get a lot of acclaim from around you and suddenly you feel like this is a very big thing, and that's maybe when the ego grows too big and on the expense of the spiritual high self, right?
Yes.
So this could happen to anybody.
Yes.
And it's just this sort of flow between the high self and the ego and how we can learn to create that space where both are working in harmony.
And I think this is where a person needs to keep in contact with their own spirit through meditation, through prayer.
Right.
Centering prayer, however you talk about it.
Right.
So that they know that they're continually on course, regardless of the press.
Exactly.
Don't believe the press.
Right.
In either direction.
Or anybody around you that sort of lifts you up. Like, in a way, they have done religiously, you know, with some of our religious icons,
mm-hmm.
like Jesus or Mary, how mm-hmm. they are sort of lifted up from reality and become something that we can almost not reach spirituality.
Yes.
We're so far down, we cannot reach them. They are so fantastic.
Yeah.
And they are, of course, but the whole idea is that we are supposed to elevate ourselves.
Yes, we're trying to see that is something to grow towards.
Right, but we can't put them on a pedestal either,
right.
because then we will never reach, you know.
Right.
It is really like a dance between these two entities, right? Ego and high self. Because I was thinking what you said about being in La La Land.
Yeah.
This is something that I've encountered many times, you know, with the interest of spirituality, that sometimes mm-hmm. you talk to people that really are into La La Land, in that sense that they, and I've seen that also in religion, that when you get too much into the high spirit
mm-hmm.
and you don't connect to reality, then it's not possible to manifest anything.
That's true.
You're in your thoughts, you're in your way just not connecting to earth, maybe, or to people
yes.
around you.
Yes.
Or doing things.
Right. And thoughts are great, but if you don't anchor the thoughts into action,
right.
into the world, then what good does that have?
Exactly.
Now, maybe a person wants to be by themselves all the time and just wants to write
mm-hmm.
and maybe to publish. Well, that's still connecting with the world.
Exactly.
But there has to be something which is earth-centered and anchored.
Right, right. It's important to manifest
yes.
spirit.
Yes.
And of course, if there is an interest to explore
mm-hmm.
spirit and spirit world, maybe anybody can get sort of caught up in that for a while
yeah.
and be too mm-hmm. much in your high self and maybe not let the ego have any say, you know. The ego says, I want to go out and walk in the forest and I want to bake or I want to
yeah.
do something fun, and you just say, no, I'm going to sit here in a yoga pose and just think about spirit, right? So it's always this flow that we
yes.
need to be aware of, to sort of allow ego mm-hmm. and high self to express themselves
yes
through us.
And sitting there for a while in yoga pose is part of the spiritual practice.
Absolutely.
And then you get on to the other.
Right.
It's sometimes the ego is in the mind, oh, I don't want to do this now.
Yeah.
This is the only time I have.
Exactly.
Everybody else is going to be in on me all the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Okay, we need to get going on this.
Right.
So that's where the ego has been.
To just
play.
Wait a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's something sometimes people think that you're too far into spirit if you stay alone. And probably I can think of times I'm afraid to get out there and do this.
Right.
And in a sense, that's kind of ego, but it's making us stay too much into spirit.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense because if we see something clearly when we're in our high selves,
yes.
in spirit, that this would be something I could do.
Yes.
However, when we connect to reality again, we're afraid. We don't feel ready, maybe, do you think?
Yes, and there is a saying that an art teacher friend once said to me, is she said, in art, the scariest place is the blank page.
Right.
Because what am I going to put down on there?
Yeah.
And I used to think that too when I got into art, and I thought, oh, doesn't matter. If it's wrong, I'll just start over. I mean,
right.
there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And I got some real strong messages one time when I was writing a paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was tossed in the file in the garbage can or what it was. I lost it. I thought, oh, so I had to start over.
Right.
But when I finished, when I started over again, all of a sudden, everything was so much clearer.
Yeah.
I was adding things and I was subtracting things better. And when I learned that, who cares if it's a blank page?
Right.
That's I'll just true. Start over.
Yeah. And it will be probably better for that.
Because I learned something from the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's also, I guess, for the ego, is sometimes afraid of failure.
Yeah.
And that's a very big part of our society too, to fail.
Yes. Yes.
So, but I think we're realizing how important failure is in a positive sense.
Yes.
Because it teaches us something.
Yes. And who was it? Edison that said that before he invented the light bulb, he had 99 times he failed.
Right. What if he gave up?
Yes.
That would have been awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So persistent and fail and just go on.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, this was very interesting to explore.
Yes. Yeah.
So then we can continue dancing with our ego and our high self, right?
Yes.
Let's do that.
Okay.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annelie.